Oh my word. You know, it wasn't until after we were about 2 weeks into this series I realized the reason I named it Oh My Word is that's always what comes out of my mouth just before I'm getting ready to do the things that we've talked about that we shouldn't be doing. So we've talked about complaining the first week. We've talked about criticizing the second week. We talked about lying last week. And today, our favorite topic of all, gossip. You know, I've never preached a sermon on gossip in like my whole life in, you know, 40 years of ministry. I've never done this. So it's actually kind of interesting looking at gossip as a topic. But it really is the culmination of the things that we've talked about so far. Because what is gossip if it's not criticizing, complaining, lying behind somebody's back? Right? So this is a logical place for us to end our series. But in doing this, how many of us would vote for a gossip-free zone? With your life, with your workplace, with your home life, with your church life, if it was up to you, you would have a gossip-free zone. Right? Anybody? Anybody? Okay, because we all know somebody that's been hurt by gossip, right? Right? Now, when we think of somebody hurt by gossip, who do we think of? We think of the person who's been gossiped about. But the reality is, gossip hurts everybody that's involved in the process. It doesn't just hurt the person. It hurts the person that's doing the gossip, as well as the person that's hearing the gossip, as well as the person who's being gossiped about. Years ago, I learned a hard lesson, and you'd love to go back and change history, but I guess everybody needs one of these stories just to keep us honest in life. But years ago, good friends of ours were in a community group, which is a good thing, right? It's a good thing, right? And they're in a community group, and one of the people in the community group just had a major issue with gossip. And not just gossip, just really toxic, negative, bitter gossip. And I remember at the time talking to them about it, because it was just obvious. You know, they kind of sharing some of the things that are going on in the group. So, you know, I'm encouraging them to, you know, kind of overcome the gossip and face the gossip, deal the gossip. But it's like something that just kept getting accommodated. And it's like, well, but if you understood, you know, how hard this person's life has been and kind of excuses are being made. So, you know, the gossip was allowed to continue. And honestly, for the longest time, it's like, why would people purposely be in a group where there's gossip? Because in the beginning, it was a person. And then it was two. And then it was three. And then it was my friends. And before it was all done, it all blew up. They left the church. They had broken relationships at work as a side, you know, aspect of all of this. It just went badly, and so many people were devastated by it. And in the end, you just wish you could go back and make a difference. But again, maybe you need an experience like that so the next time you see it, you don't just wink at it and say, well, that's too bad. So today we're going to talk about gossip. We're actually going to talk about what can we do to create a gossip-free zone. It would be so great to live in a world where gossip wasn't in charge. For many people in our culture, this is just a cultural reality. Gossip is something that's just unavoidable. It's harmless. Even Christians, well, it's kind of like a misdemeanor sin. You know, it's not like murder or, you know, something bad like that. It's just a small little thing, and yet it's very clear in what we're going to look at today that it's a huge issue. It's a relationship-building thing. You know, when you're a pastor, you just got to look up weird stuff, right? So you're looking up, trying to get some people that are promoting gossip and that it's okay. And there's actually sociologists that say, well, gossip's just a part of our culture, and it's how people build relational bonds. And as they gossip about other people, it makes them closer, and it causes them to be more connected with each other. It's like, that's sick and wrong. In our culture, there is a $3 billion business for celebrity gossip. And that's just celebrity gossip. That's not politicians. That's not workplace gossip. That's not, you know, family gossip. That's none of the other gossips. Just celebrity gossip is a $3 billion industry every year. So obviously, our culture kind of likes it. Now, everybody likes it until it's about them, right? Absolutely. Okay. Gossip is complaining, criticizing, and or lying about somebody who isn't there. That's going to be our definition for today. We're going to look at the things we've looked at the last 3 weeks and say those things are out of bounds, and particularly they're out of bounds when you're doing it in reference to somebody who's not there to defend themselves, do it in a way that would tear them down and not build them up, to go back a couple weeks ago and criticizing. how do you know if it's gossip or not? Well, are you trying to tear him down or are you trying to build him up? If you're talking about Jeff and Jeff's not here, but you're saying it in a way that's building him up, nobody's going to say that's a bad idea. Jeff's not going to say that's a bad idea. Jeff said you can do that all day long. But if we're talking about Jeff behind his back and we're tearing him down, that's the part that is sick and wrong, and it's toxic in the church. It's toxic in life. Now, somebody asked me first service, you know, it's tough because, okay, as a Christian, this is just out of bounds. Flat, no real argument here. For Christians, this is out of bounds. But in your workplace, not everybody's a Christian. And in your workplace, sarcasm is kind of like rules the day. And how many times does sarcasm really just hide, gossip behind a laugh and a chuckle, right? So the bottom line is, all we can do is create a toxic-free zone for ourselves, a gossip-free zone for ourselves. It is an attempt, and this is my two cents on all this. Why do people gossip? We are all made in the image of God. We all have facets of who God is that have been poured into us, skills and abilities and characteristics and all this kind of stuff, but none of us has everything. So we all need each other. But in the end, we would like our world to revolve around us, because the lens that we look through in life makes all the sense in the world to us, because it's our lens. Now, we don't stop to think that our lens is not complete. Our lens is deficient in many ways. But instead of allowing everything to orbit around our Savior, we want it to orbit around us. And there's no better way to get people to orbit around you than gossip. Proverbs refers to it as, you know, just delicious little morsels that people just love to eat. The gossip is something that everybody gets pulled into, and they said what, and they said when, and what happened next, and it's just like people love to get pulled into it. In the end, it is, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, it is a form of discipleship. You say, well, how could gossip be discipleship? Let me ask you a question. How many people does it take to complain? How many people does it take to criticize? One. How many people does it take to lie? You can lie to yourself. All those just take one person. You cannot gossip by yourself. You can lie by yourself. You can criticize by yourself. You can, you know, complain by yourself. But at the point that you're gossiping, what are you doing? You're influencing another person in your direction. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, you make your disciples twice the sons of hell that you are, because you're making them like you and even worse. In the end, we all disciple. We're all going to influence somebody to do something. The question is, are we trying to get them to follow us? And by using, you know, gossip, we can build our own little following. Or are we trying to introduce them to the Savior to follow him? And are we making his disciples for him? So, think about it. What does God think of gossip? In the book of Proverbs, which, by the way, we'll spend a lot of time in today in Proverbs and in the book of James. But in the book of Proverbs, it says that he hates it, that it's detestable to him. Now, why would God hate it? Because of what it does to us. How many of us don't like people to gossip about us? Easy enough. Okay, for those that are parents, how many would be more upset if they were gossiping about your kids? Yeah. I mean, there's some, like, you know, okay, you gossip about me, be fine. Big boy, I can handle it. It's not true, don't care, right? But you gossip about people that I care about? Well, think about it. When we gossip of each other, what are we doing? We are gossiping about God's kids. He's not happy. It makes him sick. Detestable means it makes him sick, right? So, God's not in favor of it. Solomon, who writes the book of Proverbs, why would he be so down on gossip? Well, imagine what it was like being him. You're born into the royal family under great scandal with your mom and dad, and you grew up that way. And you would just imagine, just in the royal family, there would be a lot of gossip going on anyway. But given his beginning, it's tenfold what it would have been otherwise. So he's grown up with gossip. There's no surprise that Proverbs talks a lot about gossip. Another person we're going to look at is James, the brother of Jesus, has one little tiny book at the back of the New Testament. And a chunk of it, a good chunk of it, is about gossip or the misuse of the tongue. Well, why would that be true? Well, imagine being Jesus' little brother. Was there scandal around Jesus' birth? Absolutely. It wasn't in a royal court. It's not like everybody was, you know, talking about them because they're rich and famous. But as Jesus gained popularity, we know they were gossiping because Jesus is with his disciples. And what does he say to them? Who do people say I am? What's the gossip? What's the deal? What's everybody talking about? Well, they're saying this, they're saying that, they're saying the other. Well, what do you say? You know, lose the gossip. What do you say? Well, you're the Messiah. Good job, guys. Because in the middle of all the gossip, you're not being dissuaded. You still know the truth. James grew up in that. And for a good while, James and his brothers were really not all that supportive of Jesus. Were they buying into the gossip? I don't know. But you can just imagine how hard it was. So it's not strange that James, now as he writes the epistle of James, is the leader of the church of Jerusalem and a major player in the early church. He just emphasizes over and over again how important it is that we watch our tongue, that we watch the way we speak to each other. So I have to admit, you know, coming off of a week of being sick, this is not the morning I would have voted to be with lack of energy, because this is a hard topic. This is one that's like, oh my word, this is depressing. Because the bottom line is, if we get into it, we're going to see ourselves. But let's just get honest. As we see ourselves, that's the good news, right? The hard part is when we don't see what we're doing and we do it anyway. What's good is when we become aware. So let's start there. To create a gossip-free zone, we need to be aware of what's happening in us and around us. So the perfect place to start, always, pray first, is with the prayer that David prayed. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Have you heard it? Let's say it together. This is a great prayer. This is a prayer that really begins the journey. Because if we don't see it in ourselves, it doesn't really matter if we see it in others. We need to see it in ourselves. So let's say this together. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any grievous way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. It points to the heart of the matter, which is the heart. Search my heart. So if you're going to deal with your mouth, where do you have to start? Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? So the place to start is say, God, help me to see my own heart. Help me to see what I'm not seeing. Help me to catch it before it becomes toxic to somebody else. We all need to take responsibility for our own words in this. Proverbs 11:12. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense. Okay, that's not just the loser that, you know, you'd like to talk about, that, you know, always is talking people down. No, that's you, the loser, if it's you. And quite honestly, it's me. If I, as a pastor, belittle my neighbor, I lack sense. Being translated, I am being foolish. Can wise people be foolish? Yeah. The point is, none of us is perfect. As much as we're wanting to grow up in Jesus, even the wisest among us can have a bad moment. And we need somebody else to speak into our life and say, hey, you need to catch yourself there. What you're just saying about that person, you're not, do you love them? Do you want what's best for them? I mean, you just address it. When you catch it in yourself, how much better? Because you just saved yourself all that embarrassment. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. How many know that may be the hard part? All the introverts are going, no, got this down, piece of cake, I'll just remain silent. I get it. For some, being silent is harder than for others. I get that. But in the end, it would be better to not say anything at all than to run somebody down, to be gossiping about somebody. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps the thing covered. I'm going to need some water. Somebody. In the end, I'm getting dry. Thanks, Terry Ann. So, for those listening to simultaneous translation, I apologize that right now my translator is here. Thank you. I'm 99% better, but Okay. That really helped. My voice is wearing out. Where was I? Oh, man. Whoever belittles his neighbor lacks sense, but a man of understanding remains silent. Whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. The bottom line is, you have friends that tell you things in confidence, and that's where they want it to stay. But when you can use that confidence for power to get people to orbit around you, how evil is that? But he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. So in the end, to what end do we keep a thing covered? It's to build them up, to not tear them down, right? This doesn't mean, well, just don't say anything. If people are gossiping, just be quiet. Well, it means don't get involved, don't get sucked into it, absolutely. But what it doesn't mean is just let it keep going on and say nothing about it. To me, this is kind of the point of the morning. As believers, we've just mostly been too passive in how we've dealt with gossip. And because of that, it's been allowed to grow and in the end destroyed a lot of people. We need to speak up against it, but not speak in favor of it. In other words, don't go along with it. What we permit, we promote. Our life is built on what we either create or allow. And when we allow gossip, we become a part of the problem. Because again, it's not gossip if there's only one person. But if you're the second person and you're letting that person speak to you and you're just being quiet, you may not be doing your part to stop it. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Oftentimes, what is fueling gossip is somebody's angry about something. So they're using that anger against the person to undermine them. James 1, if anyone thinks he's religious, but does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. So how hard is that? If we want to be people that love God, if we want our faith in God to have any impact at all, we can't allow our tongue to be out of control. For we all stumble in many ways. And if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he's a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. So from James' point of view, if you want to test how you're doing spiritually, how is your control over your own tongue? Are you able to hold back and not enter into gossip? Are you able to actually stand up and defend those who are being mistreated, misspoken about? Our faith, the power of our faith. We're getting ready to do a series called Conversations, and it's all about the conversations Jesus had with people. Now, when we think of Jesus, we think of things like the Sermon on the Mount and like these big sermons that he gave. 75% of what Jesus taught, he taught in conversation. Not with large crowds, but with very small groups, either one-on-one or, you know, just his disciples, just a handful of people. Conversations is how the gospel goes forward. And yet, if we gossip, we totally make our conversations of no value. So to create a gossip-free zone, first we need to be aware of what gossip is and our role to war against it. And then second, we need to create a gossip-free zone, we need to be direct. This is the biblical model. Jesus said, if you got a problem with somebody, if they've offended you, what do? You talk to them. If they don't listen to you, what do? You get somebody else that knows both of you, that's a part of the mix, and you bring them into the conversation, and you talk about it. You deal with things directly. You don't deal with things behind people's backs. Proverbs 25, verse 9. Argue your case with your neighbor himself, and do not reveal another's secrets, lest he who hears you bring shame upon you, and your ill repute have no end. So if you get caught up in gossip, what are you going to do to your own reputation? You're going to undermine the value of your own words. We're talking to somebody after the first service, they were just talking about how toxic their work environment is and how much sarcasm there is and how they hide behind that. And when she has tried to stand up and be a positive force, then they just turn on her and talk about her behind her back. Right? But I said, but how much better is it to be able to say to them, well, I just want you to know the way I'm defending them right now is the same way I would defend you if somebody was talking behind your back right now too. Right? Well, it's just hard to make fun of that person. And she goes, I never had that thought. I said, no, that's the person we want to be. We want to be the person that supports everybody, not just certain people, not the politically correct people that we build up and not tear down. It's what we're anointed by God to do, to build up and not tear down. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, this is James speaking, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. So whether it's another believer that's gossiping or somebody that just, again, you don't expect a person that's not a believer to act like a believer, but it's just wise to not gossip. So if you can help a person that doesn't know Jesus but still would listen to your words and would stop gossiping and become a wiser person, that's a good day. So be aware, be direct. And then third, you also need to know your audience. What is it going to take for us to make a difference in other people's lives? How can we actually do this in a way that will actually make a difference? How many know the hard part would be to actually talk to somebody about their gossip? How many know that's the hard part? It's like, I don't think I want to step into that arena. That just seems too hard, too toxic, too volatile, too damaging to relationships. I just don't want to have to confront somebody about their gossip. Well, the first thing you need to know is there's different kinds of people. And when you're going to talk with somebody, you have to kind of figure out, where are they coming from? Where do they fit in this mix? The book of Proverbs has three categories. And if you don't like the categories, talk to Solomon. I'm just saying. First one is wise people. The second one is foolish people. The third one is evil people. Henry Cloud wrote a book years ago and talked about this. And what I love about what he said is, he said, you know, I'm a psychiatrist and I don't like oversimplified versions of you know, classes of people and stuff. He says, but this one kind of holds water. It's just, yeah, Solomon is right. Three kinds of people, wise, foolish, and evil. And the reality is you address each one very differently in very different ways. Now, you always assume the best and start in the best position. But when it becomes clear that that's not their category, you move on to the next one. So let's start with the first one. The wise person. 1 Corinthians 14:26. Let all things be done for building up. A wise person would be somebody that really wants to build people up. So you're working with somebody that, you know, you're on the same team. You both want the same thing. Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. A wise person wants to build relationships, not destroy them, right? So a wise person, though, can make a mistake and in a moment be saying something that's undermining or rude or kind of buying into the gossip, right? That can happen. But the reality is when you start to talk to them about it, they're going to see it, and actually that's going to be the easy win in the conversation. Proverbs 9:9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be what? Wiser still. A wise person continues to grow in their wisdom, and when you show them where they're being unwise, they're quick to adjust. So you ask them things like, why are we talking about this? I know that seems like a really easy question, but isn't that just like the obvious place to start? You know, there's a group of people standing around and they're kind of murmuring about something going on. It's like, okay, help me understand. I'm missing the agenda here. I didn't get the memo, didn't get the, you know, printed out agenda. Why are we talking about this? And that might begin the foundation for a good conversation. Are we doing this to build somebody up, or are we doing it to tear it down? You know, who are we and what are we trying to do? Another good one is this really our story to tell? Because sometimes that's just the point. We're telling a story that's not our story to tell. It's like, hey, we should have, you know, pull this person into the conversation because there is a story to be told. It's just not ours to tell. Or my all-time favorite, when somebody is gossiping and it's obvious that they're gossiping, and they're a believer, you just say, so what did they say to you when you talked to them about this? It's like, well, what? No, that's what we do. We're direct. We don't talk about people. We talk to people. So you obviously talked to them about this before, you know, right? Well, no. Oops, caught. In the end, are we part of the problem? Are we part of the solution? The solution is to build people up. And a wise person will see that they're not, and they'll change, they'll repent, they'll turn, they'll join you in wanting to build the person up. Now, the second person is the foolish person. If you do the same thing with a foolish person, what will they do? They'll become defensive, make excuses, and blame other people. How many here have become defensive, made excuses, and blamed other people? And when we say we want to be wise, but there's times that we're foolish. And we get caught in blaming and making excuses and trying to defend ourselves and trying to justify ourselves and rationalize our way to a better position, when in reality, all of that is just foolish. The way of a fool seems right in his own eyes. That's why we do what we do. It just seems right to us, whatever stupid we were doing. Whoever utters slander is a fool. So that's pretty inclusive, isn't it? If you're going to do it, it's foolish by definition. A babbling fool will come to ruin. But how many times have you heard, well, I'm just venting. Everybody needs a chance to vent. I'm just venting, right? Proverbs 29:11. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. So, if you're just venting, you're just being a fool. Now, the reality is, do we all need confidants that we process with, just to be fair here? Yes, of course we do. But in the end, even when you're doing that, when you have that close friend that you're talking with or whatever, if you're talking about somebody else, is it for their benefit or for their demise? And it's not okay if it's for their demise. But then here's the big one. The companion of fools will suffer harm. So the story I told at the beginning, that's the illustration of this. Somebody that tolerated gossip for months and years and eventually was consumed by it. So what do you do with a foolish person? I mean, a wise person, you just talk to them. You ask some good questions. You help them to see what they're not seeing, and it's a good day. But what do you do with a foolish person? You set limits and consequences. That's the same answer no matter what the topic is when you're dealing with somebody who's not being wise. They need limits and consequences. I really want to be your friend, but I can't keep talking about this. If the conversation is going to continue to be critical of this person, I need to go do something else. And you set a limit, you set a boundary, you set a consequence. Foolish people, if they're going to respond, will respond to limits and consequences. And then finally, if you're foolish long enough, it can become even more toxic and become evil. Evil people hurt other people on purpose. They're gossiping to actually burn that person, to scorch that person, to undermine that person in real and significant ways. A worthless man, a scoundrel, some translations say, plots evil, and his speech is like a scorching fire. So if you're in a work situation that obviously you may or may not have any control over, and there are people that are just like that, you just have to limit your exposure to them. Proverbs 4. Do not enter the path of the wicked and do not walk the way of the evil. I don't think he could say this more ways. I mean, he just keeps saying the same thing over and over again. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not go on it. Turn away from it and pass on. Clear? Run. Get away from it. Don't have anything to do with it. If you stay on a path of evil, you will be burned by it. Titus 3:10 are shocking words, but when you understand the significance, Jesus died for us to be reconciled with God, right? But did he not also die for us to be reconciled with each other? Yes. And when we let gossip rip apart our relationships, it's not worth it. It's not worth the price we pay. So this is what Paul says in Titus 3. As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him. Those are hard words. But honestly, I don't think it's like, okay, you get two strikes and you're out. I told you twice and you kept doing it, so we're done. No, I think you try and you try, but at the point that the person's not responding, you separate. Now, if that separation causes the person to come back, that means they're foolish, right? The limits cause them to respond, say, no, the relationship's too important to me. Help me to see what I'm not seeing. You've just won back the fool. But if the person's actually evil, they are doing what they're doing on purpose. And separating yourself is the way to protect your own heart. Finally, Proverbs 26. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no whispering, quarreling ceases. Bottom line is, if you got your little fire pit in the backyard and you run out of wood, party's over. Right? When the fire's gone, the coals are gone, party's over. Right? When there's no one left to quarrel with, when there's no one that's biting and undermining and tearing down a person, it goes away. You get a gossip-free zone when you address what's there and we do our part to create. Well, is God said to Abraham what? He said, I want to bless you so that you will be what? A blessing. What does it mean to be a blessing? It means you speak well of. God says to Abraham, I am speaking well of you. I am lifting you up. I am making you great so that you can turn around and speak into other people's lives and make them great as well. The blessing of Abraham has been passed through Jesus to us. And it is our calling to build people up, not tear them down. And every time we let ourselves get pulled into an environment where people are being torn down, we are playing for the wrong team. Amen. Let's stand as we pray. Lord God, we thank you that in Jesus, we're not just positive. We actually live our life in a way to build people up and to make them stronger and to be more like you. And Lord, we have each other to help point out when we ourselves are stepping off the path and getting into areas that we just shouldn't get into. Ours is not to be a gossip. Ours is not to be a complainer or a grumbler. Ours is to be a child of God with the words of life that have been entrusted to us. We are ambassadors on Christ's behalf. Lord God, use us. Teach us to use our conversations well. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.